Old Testament, right after Numbers and right before Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to begin my reading in verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. And I'm going to stop with that for my reading. My text verse is going to come from the book of Joel, the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse. And it says, Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. For a few moments this morning, this being Youth Sunday, of course, my message is to everybody, but I want our young people that are here today to listen closely to the message today. The title of my message is Making the Right Choice. Making the Right Choice. And I realized this morning that it's not always easy to do, and it's not always easy to recognize what that right choice is. Let me give you an example. Marley, would you come up here for a minute? I need you for a minute. Come here. Come here. I need you. I want you to do something. I need help. As I said, it's not always easy to make decisions. Now, in my pocket, I've got a dollar in this hand. $1. In this hand, I got 2 quarters. If you had to make a decision or had to choose which one would you want, which one would you want? This one right here? Okay. Is that a good choice? Is that a good decision? All right, thank you. Wait a minute. There's another quarter in my pocket. Now I got 3 quarters. Would you trade that dollar for these 3 quarters? You would? Why don't you ask them if they think that's a good idea? You gonna keep the dollar? Okay, keep the dollar. The point being that, you know, our decisions are not always about quantity. Sometimes more is less. And, you know, when we think about making decisions, making choices, I hope we all know that this life that we're living in today, it is full of options. It's full of possibilities in many areas of our life. And sooner or later, at every age of our life, sooner or later, a person has got to make a choice. A person has got to make a decision about the way that he or she wants to live this life, about the way that he or she is going to do things in this life. And when we look into the Bible is very clear that there's 2 masters. And the Bible tells us that there is the God of heaven, and it also tells us that there is the God of this world. Now, the God of heaven, he wants to draw all men unto him. And we know this because in John chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus said, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. But yet, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what I'm trying to say is the battle is real. The struggle is real. The God of heaven is drawing all men unto him, but the God of this world, which is Satan, is trying to draw all people toward him. And Jesus went on to say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he said, No man can serve 2 masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and he will despise the other. So the thought this morning is, what's the right choice? What's the right decision? Well, I encourage you to listen to the Word of God, because the right choice or the right decision, it's always Jesus. It's not Satan. It's not the things of the world. And the Bible is clear, and it tells us that there's two roads. I think Pete may have mentioned that this morning in his devotional. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." He said, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And he said, "Many there be that go in thereat." And then he said, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Many people in this life are making the wrong choice. Many people in this life, they're making the wrong decision. They're headed down a pathway that the Bible says it leads to destruction. And again, the right choice or the right decision, the right road that a person can choose is the one that leads to life, the one that leads to eternal life in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, people today, they want to choose their own religious system. In other words, they want to do what they want to do. But in the book of Proverbs, it tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof, it says, is death. That would be the wrong choice. James in chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before the Lord and the Father is this, to keep himself unspotted from the world," meaning committing ourselves to the Lord's ethical and committing ourselves to the Lord's moral system, not that of the world. And again, that would be the right choice. And as you listen to the truth that we find in God's Word this morning, I want you to understand that no one can choose for us. The choices that we make in this life, the friends we choose, the activities that we want to get involved in, you know, those are decisions that no one can choose for us. We've got to decide. We've got to make the choice for ourselves. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And again, faced with the two choices, the best choice is the gift of God, eternal life. That comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm trying to say is that at some point in every person's life, they have got to decide to respond to the truth of the gospel. They have got to come to the place where they decide or they choose react to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. When the gospel goes forth and it pricks our hearts and we hear that we're sinners, and we hear that we need to be brought back into a relationship with God, every single person has to come to a place and a point where they choose or they decide to follow or heed the drawing of the Holy Spirit and come to a place where they are burdened within their heart, where they will repent and by faith trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, or they're going to choose or they're going to decide to ignore the gospel. They're going to choose to reject who Jesus is and what he did on the cross of Calvary. And again, there's a good choice and there's a bad choice. And kids, I can tell you today, I made my choice. I made my decision when I was 9 years old. When I was 9 years old, I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It pricked my heart. I was convicted. I was burdened. I was troubled in my heart because I knew that I was lost. I knew that I was unsaved. I knew the Word of God says, except you be born again or saved, you can't see the kingdom of God. Without being saved, without salvation, we don't go to heaven. The Bible says we go to a different place, a place that's called hell. And you know, that day when I was troubled of my heart and the minister gave an invitation, I had a choice. I could either come to the Lord and bow and pray, or I could stay right where I was and do nothing. And it wouldn't change anything about me. But that day, my burden and my conviction was so strong that I had to do something. And I chose to go to an altar of prayer in a church much like this one. It wasn't this church, but it was one like it. And I came to an altar, and it was on this side of the church that I knelt and bowed. And I prayed unto the Lord. And I trusted in the Lord, and the Lord saved my soul. And that day, my master became the Lord. And that day, I went from the broad way that led to destruction to that narrow way that leads to life. And I've committed my life to following the Lord's ethical and moral system. And the question today is, what about you? The question today is, have you made the right choice? The question today is, are you still making the wrong choice by rejecting the Lord if you feel burdened in your heart? And I want you to know that you can change that. You can change that today by coming and seeking and following the Lord. I like what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now we see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. And I'll tell you what, this is the choice above all choices. Choosing Jesus is incomparable to what the world has to offer. And, you know, joy is not reserved only for the future. The Scripture said in that portion of God's Word in verse 7 that it would be clearly seen at His revelation. And what that meant in verse 7, it would be clearly seen at His or at Jesus' return. And even now, His followers, they love Him. I know I do. His followers today that are here right now, they believe in Him. I know I do. His followers rejoice with joy. I know I do. And there's an anticipation of it all coming to an accumulation when we enter into our eternal home, when we pass from this life, and we enter into that place that the Lord has prepared for us. Making right choices, making good choices. I said it's not always easy, and it's not always easy to recognize. And the Bible today is our map, it's our guide. And we can look into God's Word, and we can see things that people have done, and we can say, that was a good choice. That was a right choice. That was a good decision. And we can look in other places in the Word of God, and we can say, they blew it. That wasn't the right decision. That wasn't the right thing to do. Joshua, in chapter 24 in the Old Testament, he made what I'll call a well-known choice. As Sister Amber said, they study in their classes some of the more famous or one of the most well-read different stories throughout the Bible. And we can see that in these. And this is one of those. And he had called all of the children of Israel to Shechem. And he had called them there because he wanted them to hear his words. And as they gathered there, the reason that they gathered there and the reason that Joshua wanted to talk to them is because the people there, they had fallen into the wrong kind of worship. They had fallen into man-made idols instead of worshiping the true and the living God. And Joshua gathered the people together and he challenged the people. He challenged them to make a good decision. He challenged them to make a good choice about always serving the Lord. He was trying to tell them, this is the direction you want to go in. You want to always serve the Lord. And this is what he said. He said, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, listen to what he said. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But he said, but as for me and my house, he said, we'll serve the Lord. Now, think about it. How would you respond to the challenge of Joshua for your life? You know, Joshua, he had made up his mind. And I want you to see in this that he didn't say to the people, look it, let's talk about this. And whatever we all decide as a group, then we'll just do it all together as a group. That's not what he said. He, in essence, what he said is that if all others want to go the other way, if they want to go serve the idols or serve the gods of their fathers on the other side, if they want to do that, he said, go ahead and do that. But he said, I've already made up my mind. And he said, me and my house, he said, we'll serve the Lord. My point, brothers and sisters, and to all of you young people that are here, don't allow the world to dictate And don't allow the world to persuade or cause you to make a bad choice or a bad decision. As I said, you've got to make that on your own. Nobody can make it but you. But God gives us good instruction, and God gives us good commandments that we can follow, and we can come up with the right way to go. And I want you to notice something here. Joshua, he didn't pressure the people. He didn't persuade them or try to persuade them in the decision that they were going to make. He wanted them to make their own choice. And the Word of God shows us that they did. In verse 16 it says, "And the people answered and said, 'God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods.'" And then in verse 24, "And the people said unto Joshua, 'The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey.'" Listen this morning, that was a wise choice. That was a wise decision that the people made. Let me give you another example in Scripture. A choice that was presented by Elijah for just a moment here. Another one that many of you are probably well familiar with. In 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah asked the question. He said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God," he said, "follow Him. If Baal," he said, "then follow him." You see, King Ahab and Jezebel, they worshiped Baal. And they promoted or they encouraged that type of worship in their kingdom. Now, Baal idols, they took many forms, but usually they were made in the shape of a bull. And usually they represented strength. And they represented fertility and reflected on lust and power and sexual pleasure. And Elijah, what he was doing was he was challenging the people. He was challenging them to take a stand. He was challenging them to make a choice, to make a decision, to follow that whoever they thought was God, that's who they should follow. Now, how would they determine it that day? How would they determine, how would they decide, how would they choose who is God? Well, according to the Scripture, this is what they did. They were going to build an altar. They were going to provide a sacrifice on that altar. And they were going to call upon their gods to consume the altar by fire, consume the sacrifice by fire. And so Elijah, he said, "I'm going to let the prophets of Baal go first." So they built their altar. They put their sacrifice on it. And let me say this. The Bible says there were 450 prophets of Baal that were gathered there. And there was just Elijah on his side. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, he said, "Cry out to your God that he might answer you." And the Bible tells us that they cried out unto Baal from morning until noon. Nothing happened. Now Elijah mocked them a little bit and said, "Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he hadn't heard you. Maybe you need to cry out a little bit louder." And the Bible says they cried out louder. And it even says they cut themselves till their blood gushed out upon them. Still, nothing from their God with a small g. Elijah's turn was next. The Bible says he prepared the altar. It says he prepared the sacrifice. He had them dig a trench around the altar. And then he told them to get 4 barrels of water. Now you know, if you're trying to light a fire, the last thing you want on what you're trying to light a fire is what? Water. It isn't going to light. He said, "Get 4 barrels of water and pour it on the altar, on the sacrifice." And they got 4 barrels and they poured it on there. And then he said, "Get 4 more barrels and pour it on there." And they did that. And then he said, "Get 4 more barrels and pour it on there." They poured so much water on it that it saturated the altar, it saturated the sacrifice, and it filled the trench up around the altar. And then the Bible tells us that he prayed a short prayer. Just prayed a short prayer. Remember the prophets of Baal. from morning till noon, and then beyond that, crying out, nothing. Elijah prepared the altar, nothing like they did. And then he made a little prayer. And then the scripture said, then fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the wood of the altar. It consumed the stones. It consumed the dust. And it said, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, I hope you've got a visual of this, because I want you to see this morning what a sight that must have been, what a demonstration that must have been to all of those that were looking to see the power of a true and a living God with a big G. After seeing that, the people made a choice. They made a decision. Verse 9:39 says, when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. They made a good choice. They made a good decision to follow the Lord. Who are you following today? The Lord of heaven or the God of this world? People in this life, they want to dispute. They want to deny that there even is a God of heaven. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school today. They're not reading their Bibles. And to be honest with you, they don't really have to, because all around us is the proof. All around us is the evidence that there is a God. Psalms 19:1 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. We know that. I believe Brother Allen mentioned it in his prayer. All we got to do is look around us and see all that the Lord has created and all that the Lord has done. I wonder, do you see it around you today? God is real. The true and living God, He is real, and He is worthy. He deserves to be praised and to be honored and glorified by God's people. You know, Moses, in his life, like all of us, he was faced with choices. He was faced with decisions. And like all of us, sometimes Moses made good ones, and sometimes he made bad ones. And we find when we look at this particular instance in the Word of God that, he made a bad choice. And kids, as we're talking about making the right choice, it's important for you to understand this morning that there is consequences or there is effects to every choice or decision that we make. It's going to affect us in some way. And Moses is an example of that. Moses was challenged with a great challenge. His challenge by the Lord called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They had cried out to the Lord in their bondage. They said, Lord, deliver us. And God chose Moses to be His instrument, His spokesman, His person to go to Pharaoh and demand that the children of Israel be released from bondage. And I'm not going to go through all the plagues and everything what happened. Let's just say, finally got to the place where Pharaoh said, let him go. Now, he had let him go, and as they had been let go, along the way, if you read about that in the book of Exodus, you'll find out that the children of Israel isn't any different than people of today. They complained back then, and people complain today. And on this particular day, they were out in the desert, and they were thirsty, and there was no water, and they wanted water. And Moses went unto the Lord and brought it before the Lord, and the Lord told Moses, He says, go out, take your rod, and He said, strike the rock. And when you strike the rock, water will flow from the rock and provide for the people. And Moses did that. And God blessed in a mighty way that day. What a miracle before the people. And you know, sometimes people are forgetful. And it wasn't too much further down the road that they found themselves in the same situation again. And Moses went unto the Lord and said, Lord, here we are again. And I'm paraphrasing. It's not spoken exactly like that in the scriptures. But anyway, God spoke to Moses. He says, okay, this I want you to go down to a rock, and I want you to speak to the rock, and water will come forward. And Moses went down to the rock, and what did he do? He He took his rod, didn't he? And he smote the rock, just like he did the first time. And what happened? Water came from the rock. Why? Because God was providing for his people. He wasn't going to make his people suffer for what? For Moses' disobedience to God. But listen, I said earlier, every choice or every decision that we make comes with a consequence. And the consequence for Moses for not listening to what God told him, well, it was pretty clear in God's word, because it says that the consequences for disobeying God was that he could not lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, into the promised land. He could see it, but he couldn't enter in. Why? Because he disobeyed God. He made a bad choice. He made a wrong decision. But he made a lot of right ones too. Hebrews chapter 11, chapter on faith, shows us a good choice on his part, beginning in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he wanted to side with God. You know, Egypt, when we look at it, it's a type of sin. And now Moses, he chose to suffer and to give up the pleasures of sin or the pleasures of the world because he understood and realized that those things were only temporary. Those things weren't lasting. Those things weren't everlasting. And it's the same way with this world which we live in today. If we follow the ways of the world and we involve ourselves in the sinful pleasures of the world, it's a bad decision, and the consequences of that without being saved is eternal separation from God and spending eternity in hell. But when we make the right choice, as Moses demonstrated here, then we have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of the blessings of God here right now, and we've got the promise of spending eternity with him. And God's way is eternal. And to be born again or to be saved, one has got to forsake sin. A person has got to give up sin. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 tells us, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. When it comes to the soul, it's important to make the right choice, to make the right decision. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, God gives direction. God says, choose life, not death. The wages of sin is death. He's saying, don't choose that. He's saying, choose life. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. If unsaved this morning, I want you to hear me. I want you to understand what I'm saying this morning. God doesn't force his will upon anyone. He doesn't do that. He lets you decide whether to follow him, abide by the drawing power of his Holy Spirit, surrender and seek him and be saved, or he allows you to reject and turn him away. And I'll tell you, it's a decision that is a life or death decision. We talk about life and death decisions. There is nothing more real than life and death decision of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior or rejecting him as your Savior. God wants you to realize this because he wants you to choose. And he wants you to choose life everlasting. And it's only found in and by and through Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. Don't be fooled. The Bible gives us warnings. It gives us examples. And, You know, don't be like the rich young ruler that we find recorded in Mark chapter 10. He wanted to know how to inherit eternal life. He wanted to know how to be saved. And the Bible tells us that he approached Jesus. And Jesus told him, and I'm condensing it, but Jesus told him what he needed to do. Jesus told him how he could be saved. And the Scripture tells us that this rich young ruler, it said he was sad. He said he was sad at what Jesus had said, and it said that he went away grieved because he couldn't bring himself to separate himself from the pleasures of the world and to follow Jesus. He made a bad choice. He made a bad decision not to come, not to seek Jesus. I read about a man in Acts chapter 24 by the name of Felix. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he stood before Felix and he said, the Bible said that he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And Felix trembled. I believe he was burdened. He was fearful. He was afraid. And the Bible said Felix trembled and he answered, "Go thy way for this time." He said, "For I have a convenient season." He said, "I will call for thee. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." In other words, he rejected the message of Paul. He made a bad choice. He made a bad decision. I thought about, again, Paul stood. He had opportunity to stand and witness before King Agrippa. And he stood before King Agrippa and told him his testimony, told him how he got to where he was, his relationship with the Lord. And then the Scripture says, "Then said Agrippa unto Paul, almost, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." A lot of people find themselves in that condition today. They'll hear the gospel preached, an invitation is given, and they won't make a move for the Lord. "Almost, almost, preacher, you convinced me about my need." But then there's Satan, the god of this world, in the background saying, "Don't do it, don't go." You got to make the choice for yourself. You got to make the decision for yourself. Almost is not enough. Almost is still lost. Almost is still unsaved. To fail in making Jesus the right choice in our life is to reject Him. And we never think about it, but if you're rejecting Him, then what are you doing? Well, you're accepting Satan. You're accepting Satan. But you're not only accepting Satan, but you're also accepting the judgment of God. Because that comes too when we reject the Lord. I'm going to close in just a moment. But Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Because I have called and ye refused." Because I have called and ye refused. In other words, you wouldn't choose me. You decided against me. "I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel." In other words, you set it aside. You didn't pay attention. You refused. You rejected all my counsel. And would none of my reproof. You wouldn't hear my warning. You wouldn't hear my invitation. He said, "I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." How sad is that? How sad is that? I want you to know this morning that the heart of the Lord is broken. The Lord looks down upon this world. He looks down upon those that are in sin. And I believe that His heart is broken. Why? Because He longs to save all those that are unsaved. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Word of God says He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He longs to live in people's hearts, to indwell them with the Holy Spirit. He longs to help people. He longs to change their lives and to rescue them from the consequences of sin, both here and now and those that are yet to come eternally. Sadly, most people reject. They refuse to heed the call. They refuse to do what they know is the right thing that they need to do. They ignore His counsel. They ignore the correction that God gives us in His Word. And as a result, You need to understand what the result is. Remember I said there's consequences for the choices and the decisions that we make? There's effects to it? Well, as a result, the future for those who don't respond to the Lord, it's a future that doesn't have any hope. It's a future that's horrific. What that word horrific means, kids, is it's awful. We talk about what hell is going to be like, and I'm not going to take the time right now, but I'll just tell you, it's awful. You don't want to go to that place. You don't want to be eternally, which means forever and ever, separated from God. You want to be with the Lord. I wonder this morning, which will it be for you? Every one of us have to consider our hearts. I told you earlier in my message, I made the right choice. I made the right decision. When I felt the conviction in my heart, I sought the Lord. I found the altar, and I called upon the Lord, and I repented of my sins, and I cried out to God to save my soul. You're not making a choice to say you're saved. You're making a choice to listen to God's word and respond to it. We don't decide that we're saved. We don't turn ourselves around on the road and say, well, you know what? I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to turn around and do better. You can't do that on your own. Only Jesus can do that. That's why he went to the cross of Calvary and died on the cross. You can't decide to be a Christian, but you can choose and decide to come to the Lord and seek him and let him perform that miracle in your heart of saving you and removing that burden and speaking peace into your heart. Which will it be for you today, unsaved friend? Today you got to decide. Today you have to choose what you're going to do with the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You're going to have to choose what you're going to do with him. Is your heart troubled this morning? As you sit there this morning, do you know if you're saved or lost? I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You might not be able to say that. You might be able to say, I'm lost. Well, if you know that you're lost, you're not going to be saved until you decide to come to Jesus and call upon him with a sincere, repentant heart of faith. And if you'll do that, the truth of God's word is that he'll save you. Brother Will, you going to lead our song? Let's have an invitational song. What will you do today? What will you decide today? If you're unsaved this morning, the first step in finding the Lord precious to your soul is making the choice to move and do something about it. And the only thing that you can do is come to Jesus and repent of your sins and trust in who he is. And when you get to that right place, you'll know it, because that burden will leave you and the Lord will save you and there will be a joy. You won't be afraid of dying and spending eternity in hell. You'll know that your home will be secure in heaven. Let's stand together. I want to give an invitation this morning. Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior? Will you come? Seek him. He'll meet you. The invitation is before you. Is the Lord speaking to your heart this morning? I can't tell. Only you know yourself. Are you saved or unsaved? Is the Lord dealing with your heart?